sort of have left this open-ended. It's not necessarily a subject. I thought maybe we could discuss several things, or whichever way it might go. It doesn't mean I haven't studied. It just means that I think there's different ways to look at things and lessons and things that are beneficial to our lives. 1 Peter, let's look at that, and we can look at some verses. 1 Peter, this chapter, and other places. I'm not going to read the chapter, but we'll start in like verse 3. Just to save some time. He's always run out of time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the New King James Version I'm reading from. If you will, if I ask you to read, please say which translation you're reading from. It's always helpful to me. It might be helpful to some others. I know no one in here remembers their birth. But every one of us at our birth, as a result of that, and who our parents are, and things that happened a little later as far as with bonding with our mother and our dads and so forth, it all has a part to play that becomes a part of our memories of that very first stage, doesn't it? Very first stage of our living and awareness. Well, here God is saying, or Peter's saying, that we've been begotten again, which implies that there was another time when we were begotten. And this can be talking about mankind, and I guess the begotten would be Adam and Eve when God begat mankind. And we look at those, the beginning of mankind, and Russ has been talking about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And how God has had a plan, and we look at it through His Word, to see this unfolding of a great plan of God. And we see that times when we were separated from God. I'm talking about mankind. And I think in the early chapter of Genesis, about the 3rd chapter, God looks on mankind and finds that their only thoughts are evil continually. I think it says something to that nature, right? And God decides to start over again. There was a starting with Adam and Eve, and there was a starting with Noah and his family. And here we're talking about, again, being begotten, because it wasn't very long after Noah was on dry ground and things started happening, and you see right there the direction that mankind was going to go again. Strange to think about, really. When you think about today, I can empathize with people trying to believe in their different things. I don't think it's easy today, and maybe it never has been in the history of mankind. I don't know. But I don't think it's easy for people to believe and some of the things that they're asked to believe in. And jump right in here if you want to make a comment on this or that. But the very fact sphere that's telling us God has begotten us. Again. He doesn't give up on us. He's begotten us again through a living hope that's before us. Something that is great and good. And we believe it, don't we? I think everyone in here believes that. I just saw on TV, a couple days ago, they have all these weird things going on as far as whether you believe it or not. It's almost like Ripley's believe it or not kind of thing nowadays. So many things that they ask you to see if you think it's true or not. And this was, I couldn't believe I was listening to this or looking at it. Because this was about mermaids. And have you seen that? And the whole thing was trying to prove that mermaids really exist. And they went through this whole thing of this little evidence and this evidence and that evidence. And the conclusion was that mermaids do exist. And, of course, there's always a conspiracy involved where somebody tries to prevent us knowing these important things, like the government. And you never find out for sure because they take away the evidence or something. It's always something like that. But here's these people trying to get us to believe that there's mermaids. And they had animated, almost looked real, or if you just looked at it for the first time, you'd think that they was actually filming this. It was a mermaid. They looked like they had a tail from the waist down, sort of like a porpoise. And then up above, it was more human-looking, with webbed hands and funny-looking eyes and no gills or anything like that. And they actually had this shot of on the beach where one was found and all of this, and the remains of it. And even one that was alive that the government said took and hide. So we wouldn't know about it. But there's so much of this kind of thing that's going on, and people are watching this. So you have this, people wondering, some, even me, I wonder if that was true, then how does this fit in with God's creation? If that was true as mermaids, because these were humanistic kind of people that live in the sea. And there's legends of this all the way down through history. Legends of someone seeing mermaids. But we have the idea of aliens that planted the seed of life on Earth. And they've taken a tour and they're going to come around the full circle and they're going to revisit and see what the planting of the seed of mankind has done sometime, and we're going to see these aliens gave us life. So we have all kinds of people that think about that and believe that that could be very true, that sort of a thing. We have many things to consider in this life of what we're going to believe in. And this is one of them. And if you really look at the scriptures, it's got a lot of things in there that is has the idea of fantasy or like fairy tales that we've invented after this. It has that feel as we look at it. And many people look at that and say, well, how can that be? And mystery. So all of us have to choose really our path in life and determine which way we're going to live our lives. God wants us to live a life of faith. But we have the god of science today. And this is all, we're in competition. We Christians are in competition for those people that we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Because we're talking about their salvation. Talking about bringing them, it's very important. Because we think in the lines of people being lost and saved. Here is God has brought about a new birth, so to speak, for mankind. A new beginning. Like the beginning with Adam and Eve, like the beginning with Noah. And now in Jesus Christ, it's a new beginning, or a beginning that we look at, that God is involved in, and making us, or trying to let us see, what is happening in the world. So what do you think about this? How are we begotten? And if you have another word in another translation, let me know. How is this? How do you think we're begotten? Again. How would you define that? How would you think about it? If you had to explain that to somebody, Peter has said this, that God has begotten us again.
A rebirth into Jesus Christ. Simply by putting him on, being committed to him, putting the old person aside in the background, recommit your life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Going over again. They're just starting all over again. Forgetting the past.
A new beginning. Anyone else? A little different? Different words to say? It's a truth. We do have a beginning. And if I ask you, though, this being begotten again, from this standpoint, could you tell me the point in time that God has begotten you? Or do you look at it that way? I mean, is there a point, a reference in time where this birth takes place? You know, we sit here and we talk about this all the time. We go over this over and over and over again. You know, there's millions and millions of people out there that have no idea what we're talking about. You ever think about that? I mean, we just rattle this off. And I've been associated with people that just sat there with glazed eyes. And they don't have a clue of what I just said. And I take that for granted, that what I say people can understand. So we got to put these things in ways that people can understand. What does it mean to you to have this new journey of life? And how are we going to explain it? Because this year, we're going to be talking a lot about outreach. We're going to be talking, not only talking about it, we're going to be doing it. We're going to be out there in different ways, looking at how we can reach others. And what are we going to say to them? In ways that will help them to think toward the way of life in Jesus Christ. And why we should give that a real reasonable thought. Because this is the way that God has begotten us again in Jesus Christ. You see, it says, begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How many people understand that? Yes?
In answer to your question, I believe it's the is in baptism. That's our, you see the point. How we, if I understand correctly, at the what point do we have the rebirth? I would say it would be at the baptism.
Yeah.
And the hope to know that once we put on Christ, then life for us doesn't end at the grave. That our life will continue on in paradise with Christ after the judgment.
Yes, you used that term put on, and Jerry used that term.
I was
put on Christ.
Yes.
And that's an interesting thought, that we put on Jesus Christ. And you think about that, and you don't take it for granted now that somebody understood. How in the world do you put on a person? You know, how do you wear it?
To me, it kind of begins a little earlier than that. And I'm looking at it in the perspective of once you believe, you know, the Word of God, conception has already been made. It's just on how well you will grow, and then, you know, you are born into this new life. But it has to start with the conception of God's Word and the belief of it in order for you to be born into this new life, to be, you know, conceived and be accepted by God. So I think it, to me, it begins a little early. It already begins with the understanding and the belief of God's love.
So, Jerry, you're going to say something?
It's that period where we go from knowing of God, to, you know, we all heard of God, and truly knowing God. It comes to different people at different times. And like Wes said, surely when you reach that stage where you've gone and been buried with Jesus Christ through baptism, then you would not have done that unless you knew God.
Yes.
Not just knowing of Him, you know Him at that point.
But there is a point that we're looking at that we are begotten by God. Born again, it's talked about that way too, born again, which is more easy to understand. Nicodemus didn't understand it that well. How can you be born again? But it's easier to think about. How are we born again? And it does, there's a germ, though, that starts within us some way. And I think this is God's part. God's part within us to prompt each person in a direction that they will have to make a decision somewhere along the line to believe in God or not. You see?
Should not be surprised at my saying, so Nicodemus had the same question that we're really talking about now. You know, at what point do you become convicted?
But you see there, most people turning over to John 3 there and reading that. What my point is, they is, don't take for granted the things that you seem to know so well because it's been so repetitious in your life that you've given your life to Christ. Don't take for granted that others understand this language And John 3 is a great mystery when you look at it and think about what was Jesus really talking about here. What born of water and the Spirit. See how mysterious that is in itself? You have to really think about it. And what I like to do in studying with people is to have them really raise these questions. Have that question and say in itself, I don't understand this. I don't get it at all. Because then that gives me an opportunity to go back and get it down into a more simple language. If I understand it myself, you see, that I can go ahead and reason with it. See?
Well, I mentioned this a lot, that this is one of the unique things about Christianity as compared to other big religions in the world. And that is that, you know, God is trying to bring us to Him. You look at Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism, and it's basically do these things and maybe the gods or God will notice. You know, maybe He'll, you know, whatever He's doing now, you know, He'll take a little time out and say, oh, gee, that's nice. You know, you can be my friend. And, you know, Christianity stands that on its head. You know, it's God constantly doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. And, yeah, I think that stumps a lot of people. You know, that, you know, and you talk about reading this, you know, a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yeah, your eyes glaze over if your natural tendency is to think, well, why would God even take notice of me? You know, I'm so small and insignificant. You know, and He's so big and vast. And, you know, these other people do weird things. You know, they put on strange clothes and they chant, you know, and they make pilgrimages to funny places and, you know, kiss rocks in the ground. And they think that, you know, that they're all right with God. And yet I see this, and you know, God's really, if you look at this, and you kind of dissect it a little bit, you know, in His great mercy, you know, who's done the work? God.
Yes.
Has given us the new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It don't really say anything about Steve Brown doing much.
Right.
Okay, in that verse, you know.
Yeah, that was one of my points.
Yeah.
That was
and that brings us to the whole thing of baptism. You know, I was tempted here to just say, well, you know, okay, we talked about that. Well, what is it really? You know, is baptism a work? You know, unfortunately, I think a lot of people in the church have let the Baptists, you know, steal that argument from us, you know, just to pick on them. Well, oh, you know, you can't demand people to do work. That's just not a work. It is an outward manifestation of your belief in this
faith.
Right here.
Faith, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, obedience. So, when we look at this, though, at our own real birth, we didn't have much to do with that, did we? And our parents had all together to do with it. And we consider that. We're sort of talking about this. It's like Steve was saying. We look at it and we see God is greatly involved in this. Greatly involved that He would choose this. And I've often thought about this and wondered, why would God choose this thing to bring us to Him? Because faith. And wouldn't there be hundreds of other things He could do to change our minds? And I'm just thinking about this. But God chose this thing of faith, of trusting in Him. And it goes on to say here that He's begotten us not to do nothing, but He's begotten us into a hope and to an inheritance even. He's into a promise of a greater thing. There's something going on here that matters, that this isn't all there is. This isn't all of it. It's progressing. And it's never stopped progressing. And the scientists look out here at God's creation and they see this. They just won't give God the credit. But they see trying to get the answer in everything out there in a physical way. But God has put everything that we see and know into a direction that's going to be incorruptible. eventually, that's the direction that the Word is telling us that it's going. See, it's going in a direction that is not going to be able to destroy. It's going to be eternal. We think of ourselves as eternal, don't we? I mean, God is going to provide eternity for us. That's why the resurrection, a living hope, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we don't always think about the other parts of God's creation that has just as much a purpose in it as you and I. And it's going to continue. It's going to be incorruptible in its final nature. The only thing is, we don't, as God says, we could be lost out of that whole thing. Is that what being lost is? We could be taken out of that whole equation, out of the whole thing, and not be a part of it. If we are going in that direction, we don't listen to our Creator and see what. Look what it says in the fifth verse. And this is great. This is part of God's part again. Who are kept, that's us, who are kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're being kept by God through our faith, and it's going to be revealed. And we talk about ourselves, we talk about being saved. People talk about all this all the time. All the denominations talk about I'm saved. The day I'm saved, you should be saved. They put the stickers on the car, Jesus saves. All these kinds of things. And really, we are saved. We are forgiven of our sins. And that we have that salvation right now today if we believe in Jesus Christ and have come to Him and have been baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection. We have that, you see. Forgiveness of our sins, but salvation isn't even complete. It's going in a direction and an end where it's completed. And that's what Peter's saying here. Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed on the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it talks about faith in the eighth verse, and having not seen you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believe Him. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So God expects us on a continual basis in our life to trust in what He's revealed to us. And that's basically what it's all about. God has revealed to us this plan that Russ has been talking to about us in Christ in the Old Testament and all the way through God's plan. He's revealed this to us. And in that revelation, we can see how that trusting in God, we can have this inheritance that he's talking about. We can be sure to have this inheritance. It's a great thing. Now, not only this whole Bible, and mostly the New Testament, its words are all about hanging in there. Doesn't use that word. But it's all about God telling us, be patient. Hang in there. Turn to Hebrews. I got several Hebrews just going through the letter to the Hebrews. There's so much said there. I didn't even have to go anywhere else. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Let's look at that. This is an encouragement in our daily faith and walk of life. Here's what the writer says. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Isn't that interesting? We've got a bit of a problem within our nature. And if we aren't careful, we can drift away from the things that God has revealed to us. And again, I say to you all that's right here this morning, this is the greatest reason for you to be present right here this morning. You see? This is the reason why we should come to church. This is the reason why we should study. This is the reason why we should worship God. Because we're given the earnest heed to those things which God has revealed to us. And in that way, we're not going to fail. If we neglect those things, if we neglect it, then we're setting ourselves up to be weak and think. This is why elders in the church pray and work very hard to think about everyone in the congregation and trying all the time to encourage each one. So when we encourage you in the least little thing here, to be here as much as you can all the time without the least little excuse preventing you, you see, it's important. Not because we're just a mutual admiration of society, but because we need this. And it goes on and says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we neglect this that God has revealed to us. See, it's so vitally important. We can't neglect it in any way, because in neglecting it, we're setting ourselves up. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? See, the writer here is telling us there's reasons to have faith and belief. I'm not expecting us to have blind faith. This is backed up some. You can see it. And this is some of the things that we need to talk about to other people. And maybe as a preliminary thing, before we get into some of these hard things, talk about, look at the nature of this and the proof of it. So God also bearing witness both of signs and wonders with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Again, turn to chapter 3, 7 through 15. Look at the words here, and this is, we're right in the middle of this. I mean, it's as if He's talking to us. And He is talking to us. He wrote this letter, and I think it's the Apostle Paul wrote it, but it's just as if He's talking to us today, and why we should be. The only thing is, I'm talking to you, and you're present today, and I haven't figured this out yet. Sometimes the ones we should be talking to aren't here. See, the ones that need this are here to listen to it. You see? Look what he says. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren. Here's the warning. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, here's another reason for us to be together. Verse 13. Another reason why we are a family. Why we are who we are. And we're not even talking about going out and converting the world to Jesus Christ. We're talking about maintenance here. Right? We're talking about maintenance. But exhort one another daily. Daily exhort one another. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And then Hebrews, the third chapter. Chapter 3, 7 through 15. All right. You see the comments in there, though? I mean, you can't just run over those, that language. God has begotten us again. And because He has begotten us, you just can't just live daily life and believe that and not having an effect on you. It changes. And you have to read these things and you see how God is trying to say, don't take this for granted. Don't take it lightly. And none of us here probably do, but there's some that's not here maybe today that are taking it lightly. Not really caring about it. See?
You know, we feed our physical body on a daily basis several times a day in order to stay alive. If we don't come here to feed on the spiritual food, I would wager that the majority of us just snack on the living word during the week. It's really the main feast that you get is while you're here. And so it makes me wonder a lot of times why people would want to forsake the spiritual, really taken out, so to say, on Sunday or Wednesday night or Sunday evening. When you know, we can feed our physical body constantly.
We know all about food, really, this week.
Yeah.
So we know about that. And it's another puzzle of mankind, of people. It's just a puzzle of people. How you encourage them, how you exhort them, and how the things that's necessary, the maintenance that's required for us all. All of us require this maintenance because God is warning us. It isn't saying you got it and that's it. Okay, just wait and it'll all happen. It says be cautious, beware, and all this as we go through life. You can't just let it happen. It's got to be very very planned. Some people must not like that. Here's the last verse. And listen to these. In the chapter 6, still in Hebrews, chapter 6, and we'll read 9 through 12. And see, the time has ran out again. I could say a lot more about this, but the thing I want to point out, the scripture is just full of this. Not just Hebrews. It's on and on and on. Trying to get it up here. Trying to get it down in our brain so that we have this. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. There's something that accompanies it, see? Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name. in that you have ministered saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Look at those words. Telling us as a family in Jesus Christ what we should be about doing and being. And it's ministering to one another. You see? That's what we should be about. And these, they were doing it, ministering to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become, I like this word, that you do not become sluggish. Is that easy to do, brothers and sisters? Is it easy to become sluggish? It is. You see how we have to be constantly aware of this to avoid that? Or we fall right into that. We fall into it. But imitate those. Imitate who? Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What are we all about? What do you should be saying to me? What am I life about related to you? You need to be imitating something that I'm doing. So diligently, you see, that you might inherit what God said, what He's begotten you unto, this incorruptible inheritance. Thank you for listening to me this morning. My time's up.